Welcome to the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana.
Watford for the win! Yes! Yes! Unbelievable!
Your daily home for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Welcome to Indiana basketball.
Smart takes the shot, and the Hoosiers with 3 seconds. Go ahead.
Indiana wins the championship. Keith Smart is the hero.
When my time on Earth is gone and my activities here are past, I want they bury me upside down and my critics can kiss my...
Now here's your host, Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana. What I feel is the pinnacle, the absolute pinnacle of all of college basketball.
And hello, welcome in a New Year's Eve edition of the Hoosier Report, our final show of the 2018 calendar year. We're glad that you're with us today. And yeah, we've been a little spotty, a couple days off last week. I was at the Noblesville tournament, and we'll be out tomorrow because of the New Year holiday. But we try our best to be with you every single weekday at 11 a.m. And of course, once we get through tomorrow, the start of 2019, we'll be back with you with a lot of IU basketball, Big Ten IU basketball. It'll be coming fast and furious after the new year. Of course, IU's been off. The players got to go home for a little break. Practices have now resumed, and they are in full preparation mode for the Big Ten opener, you could say, for the 2019 schedule, and the rest of the way going all Big Ten opener on January 3rd, a home game against Illinois. So big ones coming up. Illinois at home, followed by Michigan on the road. We've talked a lot about a tough schedule to refire Big Ten Conference play in 2019. Indiana definitely going to get its mettle tested here early and often with Big Ten basketball getting underway from a full perspective. Let's take a look at the guest lineup today. It's a service of Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Joining us on the program, segment one, we'll have Hoosier Headlines, our summary of the day's top IU and Southern Indiana sports news. Segment two, Zach Osterman of the Indianapolis Star. Zach is the IU beat writer for the Star. He'll join us to recap where this IU basketball team is at as they enter 2019. We'll break down some players individually. We'll take a look at where the team is at. We'll start to preview the Illinois game with Zach when he joins us. We've also got a little bit of football to talk about. I'll tell you more about that here in just a second when Zach is with us. Also, later in the program, Chad Gilbert. He's Charlestown's athletic director and an IHSA executive board member. He will be with me. We always talk lots of Southern Indiana sports headlines, including a lot of basketball stuff. So stay with us for Chad coming up later in the show today. That's the guest lineup. Mention the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison, and you'll receive $1 off your box lunch at Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Let's take a look at some Hoosier headlines. A summary of the day's top IU and Southern Indiana sports news presented by Hoopster Sports Grill in Jeffersonville. Starting off with some IU stuff, it feels like, I don't know about you guys, maybe because you've been busy with the holidays, it doesn't seem this way, but to me, it feels like forever since Indiana played its last basketball game. Once the season finally gets here, the games get going quickly, and you're like, wow, this is awesome. You've got something every couple days, at least every 3 or 4 days, to follow, to watch something new as far as IU goes. It's been a little different here over the holidays. A break, Indiana playing its final non-conference game before Christmas, and has had a couple days before Christmas, a number of days between Christmas and the New Year, and then, of course, a couple more days even after the New Year to get ready for their next game. So as fast and furious as things were in the non-conference schedule, it's been a little slower here over the holidays, and now Indiana will gear up for Big Ten basketball opening up here for them on January 3rd. But there are some things to pass along. Obviously, not as much news out there about the team. There are no games to talk about. There haven't been any opponents to preview. But one of the things that I think is important, and we've talked a lot about this heading into the holidays, this team getting a break, this team getting to go home for a couple days, to relax for a couple days, and now that they're back on campus, this team getting the opportunity to practice and prepare to work on some things that maybe didn't always look as sharp as it should during the non-conference season and get ready for the Big Ten schedule. So I think this is a very important time. Indiana has battled a lot of injuries. Indiana has had a tough schedule, and most high-major college teams have. It's not like it's just Indiana. But Indiana specifically will have a very tough open to the Big Ten Conference, and I think that we can look back on this break, this opportunity for the kids to go home and to enjoy the holidays and to get some practice in as well and to get some recovery time to heal and just get rested for a grueling Big Ten schedule. I think we can look back on this time and say it was an important part to this IU season. So we'll see how it goes. A couple things to pass along about the team. Devontae Green, now that the team is back practicing again after Christmas, he won the gold practice jersey that's given out on a plus-minus scale to the player with the most points, the most production, you could say, in IU's practices. It's the first time that Devontae Green has had that jersey this season. There have really only been a few winners. Jawan Morgan has had it a lot. Romeo's had it a lot. Jerome Hunter, who's been out and indefinitely out now, actually had it early in the season for a week. But Green on a nice streak here for this Indiana team, going to be a big point part of it, it looks like, for the team coming up here in Big Ten play, especially with the status of Rob Phinisee unknown for the January 3rd game against Illinois. One thing on Phinisee, and I will tell you this, I was in Bloomington on Saturday. I had a reason to go to Assembly Hall, and as I pulled up in the parking lot between Assembly and Cook Hall, Rob Phinisee was walking, bundled up in a jacket, walking from across the street, across the parking lot, wherever he had been previous to that on Saturday, going into the Cook Hall facility. Don't know if he was going to get checked out, going to get shots up, going to practice, have no clue. But at least he was out walking to Cook Hall for whatever reason on Saturday. So let's hope that he's getting better and able to make a return pretty quickly with this Indiana team as they re-enter Big Ten play. Also, the Michigan game, that's going to be a huge challenge for Indiana on the road. January 6th, the game after the Illinois contest. It's been announced that it will be on CBS, so a nationally televised game. And it will tip off at 4:30. That tip time had not been set, but 4:30 for the IU game on January 6th at Michigan. Also, Alex Bozich, and we're going to talk some about this today, but Alex Bozich had a great piece over the holiday period, actually just came out earlier this morning, a look at each player individually through Indiana's first 13 games of the season. Of course, Indiana is 11-2 heading into Thursday's game, but Romeo Langford has played 13 games, 17.5 points per game is his average. He's averaging 5.7 rebounds per game, 2.6 assists per game, just over one block per game, a 53.4% effective field goal percentage and averaging 32.9 minutes per game. Pretty strong stat line, pretty consistent line for Romeo Langford, I think. Jawan Morgan, to compare those two, Jawan also has played all 13 games. He is averaging 16.2 points per game, so just about just over a point less than Romeo. 7.5 rebounds per game, 2.9 assists per game, 1.5 blocks per game, a 74.4 effective field goal percentage in 28.3 minutes a game, which is just outstanding. That's 74, almost 75% effective field goal percentage in 28 minutes. That's just an outstanding number for Indiana. I thought I'd mention those two. We'll talk more about this today, and I'm sure as the week goes on in preparation for the Illinois game, but some very efficient lines through 13 games for Indiana's two key players, senior Jawan Morgan, freshman Romeo Langford, and as you gear up for Big Ten games, it's going to be really interesting, I think, to see these two go against some of the best the Big Ten has to offer. Will Romeo get the ball a little bit more? Will they have some new sets with him with the ball in his hands, starting in his hands? Going to be interesting to see. I think they will. I think Indiana will not completely go away from what was successful in the non-conference season, but definitely adding some stuff in. I would think that this time of year, after a break, maybe that's the time you add some new plays, some new quick hitters in, work on your defense some before the Big Ten Conference gets here. And, of course, scouting. You know, I mean, everything you run nowadays in college basketball is scouted. There's video available for all the teams, the opposing teams. There's video coordinators and staff that do nothing but watch video, that break down video, that clip plays together, that clip certain players together to help their team get prepared for whoever they're playing. Indiana does the same thing. So maybe a couple new things for Romeo, even for Juwan as well, probably a good thing at this break heading into a full slate of conference games. So kind of the calm before the storm is the way I'm looking at it, because when that Illinois game tips on Thursday, it's back to fast and furious for Indiana because they go right to Michigan. They've got a heck of a tough stretch. They've got a number of road games to start the Big Ten full schedule, and it's going to be a lot of fun to watch. Also, some breaking news last night. This came late in the evening. UCLA Athletic Director Dan Guerrero has terminated Steve Alford as UCLA's basketball coach. An official announcement on that is expected today. This is all according to Seth Davis. No indication yet as to who will serve as the interim coach for the remainder of the season. Obviously, things had not been going well for Steve Alford. We had mentioned some of his team's bad losses on this program throughout the non-conference season. The worst, maybe, was a home loss by, I think, 15 points on the nose to Liberty over the holidays. And a lot of speculation at that point that there was at least pressure on the UCLA administration and AD to make a midseason change, which you don't see all that much in college basketball. You see it in some other sports. You see it in professional sports a lot with interim coaches and acting coaches. Occasionally you see it maybe with a college football team if a coach leaves early and the team still has a bowl game. There have been some other scenarios as well, but you just don't see it a lot in college basketball. But that's the path that UCLA has taken. There was a lot of speculation going back to the start of the year that Steve Alford was on the hot seat, that this very well could be his last season as coach of the Bruins. In fact, going back a season ago, there was even some talk after last season, would he be back this year? So tough times for UCLA at this time, and of course for the former IU standout, Steve Alford, and of course what a player he was at Newcastle in the state of Indiana. So we always keep an eye on the guys with IU connections. A lot of positives most of the time. This is not a positive, as things just not going in a good direction with Steve Alford at the helm at UCLA. So a change made right before the first of the year. Very interesting move, something you don't see all the time in college basketball. A couple other things, a quick IU football note before we jump to some high school basketball stuff. IU's offensive coordinator, Mike DeBoard, is retiring. IU put out the official release yesterday afternoon that he's retiring. We'll talk some about this with Zach Osterman, what impacts, positive or negative, this could have on the IU football program moving forward. I want to give you a quick recap of high school basketball. A lot of games between Christmas and the new year. A lot of holiday tournaments wrapped up over the weekend. I think a couple actually finishing up today across the state of Indiana. We'll start with our game balls. We always give out our hypothetical game balls, our mythical game balls, you could call them, on Monday to highlight some of the better individual performances over the weekend. We'll start with Julian Hunter of New Albany. It wasn't a banner moment for IU at the Noblesville Holiday Tournament. The Bulldogs went just 1-2. A good win over Crown Point to start the event. New Albany with about a 14-point lead late in that contest. Crown Point narrowing that score as the game went final. The next morning, New Albany gets beat pretty badly by Lawrence Central, who's an outstanding team. It would not surprise me if Lawrence Central is able to compete with Warren Central for a semi-state or a state final berth coming out of the southern half of the bracket. But New Albany loses by 13. They actually battled back and finished the second half, outscoring Lawrence Central by a number of points, a few points, to close the margin a bit. But Lawrence Central still got the win. And then in the night game, it would have been the third-place game, New Albany gets surprised by Columbus North. Once again, New Albany leading in the game. They were ahead by 8 points in the fourth quarter. It looked like New Albany may be on the verge of pulling away from Columbus North to secure third place at a really good tournament. Unable to do so, Columbus North got back in the game. They tied it up. They eventually took the lead. New Albany missed a three-pointer at the buzzer and lost by 3 points to Columbus North. I say that, though, the highlight of the weekend for New Albany and the winner of one of our game balls today, Julian Hunter. He had three double-digit performances. He really has turned the corner, it looks like, for this New Albany team. The team is getting him the ball. He's scoring at the rim. Number of dunks this weekend at the rim for him and Julian Hunter with three big performances, three very solid performances, is one of the winners of our hypothetical game ball today. Also, Zane Gross, the senior, with a big performance at the Silver Creek Holiday Tournament, as Silver Creek, as expected, cruised to the championship game. They won the championship 70-27 over an undermanned Providence team. Providence went into the tournament with two starters out with some pretty severe injuries, and a third starter, Nick Sexton, went out in the championship game in the first quarter, maybe indefinitely in the first half of the championship game. But Zane Gross with 24 points in that game. He turns in a big tournament. He's the winner of one of our game balls today as well. Also, you want to talk about exciting Indianapolis Crispus Attucks. A lot of tradition in that program as well. They came down to Jeffersonville a few days ago on Thursday night, 94-91, over 180 points scored in that high school basketball game. The Red Devils come up short. They lose by three. Trey Coleman with 29 points, Jacob Jones with 26 points, Darren Starks with 20 points, three players with 20 or more points for the Red Devils, who lose by three, 5-3 on the year. They're heading into a big matchup with New Albany coming up this Friday. We give a game ball for a big performance to Trey Coleman, who led the team with 29 points. That's a look at some of the top performers over the weekend in high school basketball. A look at our Hoosier headlines as well, presented by Hoopster Sports Grill in Jeffersonville. Hoopsters is your hometown sports grill where hometown fans watch hometown teams play. Hoopsters was voted as the best sports bar and best place to watch sports by the News and Tribune's Reader's Choice Awards. Hoopsters in Jeffersonville, where fun happens. We'll head to a commercial break. We'll come back with Zach Osterman of the Indianapolis Star. Lots of IU basketball. We'll take a look at the Illinois game coming up on January 3rd. Little IU football as well, with Coach DeBoard retiring. That is next, with Zach Osterman of the Indianapolis Star, right here on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison. Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
I'll handle this the way I want to handle it now that I'm here. You f***ed it up to begin with. Now just sit there or leave. I don't give a f*** what you do. Now, back to the game.
Here's Matt Dennison.
All right, we're back on this Monday program. Zach Osterman of the Indianapolis Star, our guest. Zach is the IU insider for the Star. He's covering constantly the IU basketball, football programs, and more. And Zach is with us Mondays on the program. First off, Zach, Happy New Year. Hard to believe that we're about to flip the calendar from 2018 to 2019.
Yeah, I know. I'm still waiting for the 1 year where I think, man, that year took forever. Just seem to keep going and going. It seems like by the time we get to New Year's Eve, I'm always just like, holy crap, where'd the year go?
Absolutely. And I tell you what, a lot of IU fans, I think, probably enjoying the holidays, but not liking the fact that the holidays have slowed down the opportunity to see IU play and to have some constant chatter about what's going on with this team. It's been a nice break. We talked going into it that the break could be good for a number of reasons. After a grueling non-conference schedule, number one, to get healthy, number two, just to get some rest and get away from it for a couple days. And now Indiana's back on campus practicing, getting ready to play Illinois on Thursday, January 3rd, which marks the restart of the full Big Ten Conference schedule. And once it restarts, I think we'll forget about this break pretty quick because it's a grueling opening for IU.
Yeah, I think we've talked about it before, but, they play Illinois at home on Thursday, as you said. After that, starting with the Sunday game at Michigan, 6 of 8 on the road. Among those six, Michigan, Maryland, Purdue, Michigan State. You know, you even throw in a game like Northwestern in there that's probably not going to be the easiest in the world. It seems like even when Indiana wins in Evanston, they kind of have to really scrap to do it. And the two that you get at home are Nebraska and then Michigan again. Now, if you want the sort of optimistic sort of flip side, if you're Archie Miller, you're looking at this and you've said, you know, I've been able to give my team all this time off that you mentioned. We've been able to rest them, you know, in terms of building, you know, athletic peaks and that sort of thing, you know, all that kind of all that stuff that you look at scientifically in the way that you want guys' bodies to just sort of physically peak through a season. You're able to maybe kind of get them a rest and reset them a little bit and let them go again here in January. And if you can get through this stretch more or less intact, six of your last nine at home and the three on the road are, I believe, Minnesota, Iowa, and the third one, Illinois. So the back end of the schedule is basically as kind as the front end is difficult. You just got to figure out a way to navigate the front end.
We're talking with Zach Osterman of the Indianapolis Star. IU getting ready for a game against Illinois. Let's talk about that game. I think it was you and I, maybe it was Alex and I, we kind of got ahead of ourselves last week before the holidays talking a lot about the Michigan game on the road, which it was announced is going to be a 4:30 tip and on national television as well, because that just obviously is a marquee matchup. And I think IU's really big road test to kind of gauge where they're at. But Illinois is no slouch. I'm not sure the non-conference season went exactly how they hoped or expected it to go, but it will be an interesting opener.
I think Illinois is at least slouching a little bit. They lost at home to Florida Atlantic the other day. So.
Yeah. But that will be obviously an interesting start. And you want to say a winnable start possibly for this IU team, which I think is very important as they restart the Big Ten portion of the schedule.
No, I think that's a good point. That, again, as we talk about how difficult January is going to be for this team, at least having that one game to ease back in. You're right, Illinois is not just going to roll over. But I think this was the first year since they joined the conference, and I'm not trying to be flippant, but I think this was the first year since they joined the conference that I picked someone other than Rutgers to finish last, and I picked Illinois to finish last. And I haven't really seen anything that would make me change my mind on that decision, quite frankly. They just don't look like a team that's syncing up with what Brad Underwood wants right now. It's going to be at home in Bloomington. It's a game that, quite frankly, Indiana just can't afford to lose. And I know that sort of goes without saying, but it's maybe another one of those where, for a young team, you just look at it and say the test here is taking care of business and doing so in a way that maybe doesn't require you to put forth too much unnecessary effort with a big game Sunday at Michigan kind of looming. But then also maintaining your focus and not thinking about that big game Sunday at Michigan, and not maybe getting caught up in sort of the, you know, national TV and the atmosphere and the ranked matchup and all those different things. So I think it's maybe the one advantage of this January portion of the schedule is Indiana gets a game here where if it handles its business the way it should, it should be able to kind of ease back into its groove before, obviously, the season takes a really steep climb, starting with the Ann Arbor trip.
Zach Osterman, the Indianapolis Star, my guest. One of the things that we did learn over this pause in IU basketball was that Devontae Green is the most recent recipient of the gold practice jersey, which, based on a plus-minus scale, kind of tells you who's been very consistent and performing well in practice. Does that surprise you at all, based on some of his recent performances, that based on that plus-minus, at least, he's at the top right now for IU?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. It does and it doesn't. I mean, first of all, he obviously had a couple of pretty good games there toward the end of the non-conference season. He played really well backing up Robert Phinisee when Phinisee went out against Central Arkansas. The other thing I'd say about Devontae Green is, you know, I think people have maybe pretty easily forgotten what Devontae Green was for this team toward the end of last season, how well he played for a pretty substantial amount of time. I mean, you know, he was for the last, what, month and a half of 2017-18, he was a very good point guard for Indiana. And he'd taken some real positive strides. And I think there were some people that felt that he had, you know, that sort of wondered, well, where did that go when they saw him playing early in the season? But it was like, well, he's not really, he's either not playing 100% because of his health, or he's not playing 100% because he hasn't been able to get on the court enough, both in practice settings recently and in game situations, to be able to really find that rhythm and that comfort again. And I think that you're starting to maybe, you know, chart some plot points here that feel like they're good signs for him getting back to that place. He's putting in some better performances. You know, he's had some games where he's cut turnovers a little bit. He looks more comfortable passing the ball, distributing the ball, certainly shooting the ball. Now, as you mentioned, it seems like he's really kind of turning it on in practice. And I think it's worth pointing out, if I'm remembering right, I only think four players have won that gold standard practice jersey. Romeo Langford, Juwan Morgan, Jerome Hunter once before, obviously, his injury troubles, and now Devontae Green. So the point is, it's not a participation thing. It's not like they're handing it to somebody new every week for motivation. It's something that they're making these guys earn. And it's telling that it's the best sort of recognized stars on the team that are winning it most of the time. And if he's doing enough, Devontae Green, to pull it away from one of them, then I think you have every right to be encouraged about maybe him finding some of that form that he had toward the end of last season, now heading into Big Ten play in January.
Zach, one of the big things, too, to track going into the Illinois game is the health of this team. Boy, at one point in the non-conference schedule, they were just struggling to find enough scholarship players to play, to be quite honest. Things have improved some since then. Rob Phinisee did go out recently with concussion-like symptoms that has been in the concussion protocol now for a number of days. Any update on him or generally the health of this team?
It did seem very much like Archie Miller was encouraged. You know, he wasn't making promises on Phinisee. He was kind of talking about him like he thought there was a chance he'd be back by that this gap would help him get better. Now it's a concussion, so you never know for sure. You also kind of got the sense, trying to read between the lines, that there was a little bit of a better safe than sorry approach being taken with Zach McRoberts, who also sat out the very end of the non-conference there. So we'll see. You know, we haven't talked to Archie since the end of the Jacksonville game. We'll see what he has to say later this week when we talk to him pre-Illinois. I think what's really going to be the question is whether or not Indiana expects to get Rhys Thompson or Jerome Hunter back at any point this season. And you know, Hunter's obviously dealing with something real strange and weird and different, and so it may just be one where Indiana kind of has to plan for life without him indefinitely. And maybe there is even a redshirt situation on the table. Thompson's more concerning just because, listen, you know, I've seen people who say, well, what's going on? This can't just be a concussion. It's taking too long. Concussions can take this long. Your concern is just if they are, that it must be a pretty severe one. If he's still kind of feeling the after effects, if he's still as far away from, you know, full practice activity as Archie's sort of made it sound like he was when we talked to him, I guess probably within about the last week of the December schedule. Is Indiana hoping to get either one of those guys back in any meaningful way between, let's say, January 1 and March 1? Or is it basically just if they can get Zach McRoberts and Rob Phinisee healthy, then that constitutes full health for this Indiana team this season? I think you are at a point in the calendar where you can start basically asking whether or not Indiana expects to be able to get one or both of those guys in the mix again this year. But from the perspective of Phinisee and McRoberts, you know, we'll see how they've come back, obviously, from their break here. But I do think that there was more of a hope, and I don't want to say expectation, but certainly a feeling that Indiana could get both of those guys back in a pretty meaningful way sooner rather than later.
We're talking with Zach Osterman. Zach is the IU insider for the Indianapolis Star and with us Mondays here on the program. I do want to flip the football for just a moment. Mike DeBoard retired over the weekend. It was announced officially by IU yesterday, meaning that Tom Allen has a big vacancy to fill, that could help direct the future of this football program. You've been all over that decision for Coach DeBoer to retire. I'm curious your thoughts on what this means for IU football and what potentially could be next.
Yeah, I mean, it is big. I think you would back Tom Allen. You know, defensively, Indiana took some pretty big steps back this season in terms of yards per game and things like that. On the other hand, Indiana was still really good in some areas of defense that Tom Allen, I think, is as comfortable with when you're talking about turnovers forced, interceptions, fumbles, bigger plays, things like that. I think you would back Tom Allen as he gets that defense back to a level of experience and then also starts to add some of these, you know, more elite players that they're bringing in, like a Bo Robbins or a Cam Williams, to get the defense back to, you know, that competitive level that he had it at his first couple of years in Bloomington. The question for Indiana now, and it's so strange to say it because we spent 20-something years saying, well, Indiana's offense is fine, but can they find somebody who can come in and fix their defense enough to compensate? Now we're saying the exact opposite thing, which is their defense, I think, broadly speaking, will be okay long-term, but can they find somebody to come in and get the offense back to where it was, you know, or even – not necessarily where it was under Kevin Wilson. Look, Kevin Wilson is one of the best offensive coaches in the country. His team set a slew of Indiana records over his 6 years in Bloomington. I don't think you necessarily need to match that. I mean, you know, there were a couple of his offenses that were truly elite. But if you can get somebody that can take Indiana's offense back to approaching that, then all of a sudden you can very easily see a world where 5-7 becomes 6-6 consistently, or 5-7 even becomes 7-5 consistently. And maybe you get that 1 year where all the stars align and you get an 8-4 or a 9-3, something like that. This is one where, number one, I think that this is a big test for Tom Allen. Who can he lure? Who can he impress? Who can he convince to come in? Number two, is Fred Glass prepared? You know, Mike DeBoer was making a little over $500,000 a year. That was not a top 100 salary nationally among assistant coaches. On the other hand, Fred Glass has said recently that Indiana is preparing to give substantial raises to David Blue and Matt Ray. It's sort of strength and conditioning, brain trust, and speed development brain trust that will take both of those guys into the top 20 nationally in terms of pay among sort of your strength and conditioning and player performance type personnel. So is Fred Glass prepared to elevate the offensive coordinator position in the same way in terms of his pay? And then that's going to change maybe the caliber of coach that you can attract. Does Allen look internally? I would be a little bit surprised at this point, just because I think if they were planning to sort of name an internal hire, they would have done it by now. But I think it's still possible. It's going to be one where if Tom Allen can find the guy that gets the offense fixed and clicking again with a lot of young talent there, Michael Penix and Watt Fillior and Stevie Scott and so forth, then I think that he might just get the program that he lusts after, that turns that corner, that quote-unquote breaks through, wins enough of those games to consistently be in or around the bowl picture. But this is, to my mind, maybe the biggest decision of his tenure is where he takes this job next and who he kind of puts in charge of getting Indiana's offense back to a level of consistency, explosiveness, and Big Ten competitiveness.
That was going to be my next question, is where do you rate this as far as a decision for him in the future of this program? Because from what I gather, from what you write and others have said, this could have, as you broke down very nicely for us, a very big impact, or maybe even a change somewhat on IU football moving forward, if it's going to reach that level, that height that I think everybody so very much wants, which is a bowl game consistently every year and maybe a few more wins on the total.
I mean, you don't want to sort of fall into the hyperbole trap, right? And you don't want to say, oh, this is the biggest decision ever. This is the biggest decision Indiana has ever faced or anything like that. But you do feel like, and I wrote a whole story to this effect toward the end of this year, right around signing day, it feels like Indiana's closer than it's been in a really long time to rolling the boulder over the mountain. And that seems like the metaphor I keep returning to when people want to discuss IU football is IU is the man who's been pushing the boulder up the mountain over and over again only to lose his footing at the last possible instant, and the boulder goes flying back down the mountain. Indiana is closer, it feels like now, to getting that boulder up over the mountain than it's been in a really long time. And at the same time, I think Indiana also, frankly, has established some firmer footing, to sort of keep torturing this metaphor, near the top of the mountain than it's had in a really long time. It's not like this has all been reliant on one ridiculously talented senior class that came and went, and now they're going to bottom out and go, you know, 3-9 again. But by the same token, from Indiana's perspective, you don't get to just sort of stay there forever until you keep trying to get it right and keep trying to get it right and keep trying to get it right. At some point, you've either got to move forward or backward. This is a decision that could be a substantial step toward moving Indiana forward if it's gotten right. And I would argue that Indiana doesn't need too much more forward movement to take a program that has either gone to a bowl or come one possession short of a bowl each of the last 4 years. This is a program that does not need a ton of forward movement to get over the hill and to become a more regular 6-6, 7-5, and then you sort of rebuild your foundation there and you turn your attention upward again. Now, listen, this hire alone isn't going to do it. There's other stuff that needs work. Tom Allen has already abdicated defensive coordinator duties to Kane Womack. That side of the ball needs improvement. I would argue that Indiana special teams probably need a little bit more tender, loving care after a season where there was a lot of hit and miss in different areas and special teams. Recruiting has to continue to, you know, sort of at least stay at the level that it's at, if not take another tick upward. And ultimately, you've got to find a way to build a culture where Indiana makes a habit of winning those close games that it spent the last 20, 25 years losing. But this is maybe the biggest step Indiana can take if it gets this hire right, if it finds the right system fit, if it finds the right cultural fit, and if it finds somebody that can really come in and mold a lot of this young talent IU has into a more consistently competitive Big Ten offense.
Zach Ostrom and the Indianapolis Stars. Zach, I want to finish with this. Steve Alford out midseason at UCLA. I don't think that anyone is terribly surprised he's not going to come back next year, given some of the losses and just where the program is at. I do think there's still a little bit of surprise he was let go, his contract terminated in the middle of the year.
Yeah, I mean, I obviously am not as familiar with Steve Alford's, you know, contract situation and things like that. It was surprising to me that there were a lot of reports that basically suggested that Alford's contract, that his buyout would decrease substantially at the end of this season, and yet UCLA felt the need to make this move now. That feels like a pretty remarkable statement. Whatever the motivation, whether it's because they don't want to give him a chance to recover it at all and make the decision tougher, or it's because there's just so much internal whatever that they just said, you know, we're done and we're good and that's just kind of where we're going to stay. It is unusual. It's very unusual when there's no sort of scandal in play, when there's no sort of NCAA sanctions or something that really needs addressed in kind of a substantive, you know, actions speak louder than words kind of way. But it's, you know, it probably also speaks to the level of expectation at UCLA that ultimately, fair or not, and we can have a whole separate discussion about whether UCLA is still the program that it probably thinks it is, but ultimately, it's a place that expects that kind of elite performance. And if you can't give it that, then you're probably going to be on the hot seat, and at some point, that seat's going to boil over.
Zach, thanks for the chat. What's New Year's Eve look like for you?
I think we're going to sneak out for dinner, but other than that, you know, it's with the baby and everything, we're not raging till midnight or later.
Just enjoying a night off, I would guess, before the full Big Ten schedule gets here, because you will be extremely busy then.
Oh, it once it starts, it doesn't stop until April. So it's just catching our breath and preparing for the madness.
Absolutely. Zach, thank you so much. Zach Osterman with the Indianapolis Star with us Mondays here on the Hoosier Report. We'll head to a commercial break. When we come back, we'll wrap up this New Year's Eve edition of the program with Chad Gilbert, IHSA Executive Board Member, Charles Towns Athletic Director. A lot of holiday basketball to talk about and a big high school game coming up. I know we're kind of covered up still with holidays and school getting ready to get back in session coming up here later this week, but New Albany at Jeffersonville on Friday night. That is about as big as it gets with high school basketball in the state of Indiana. It'll be another hot ticket to get. And Chad's been through that rivalry as the coach of the Red Devils, both the boys and the girls. We'll talk a little bit about that coming up as well. Stay with us. Chad Gilbert is next right here on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
Let's win this one for all the small schools who never had a chance to get here.
Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Let's win for Coach. You got us here.
Here's Matt Dennison.
And back on this Monday show, final segment, Chad Gilbert. Always with me, Chad, is Charlestown's Athletic Director and an IHSAA Executive Board Member representing Southern Indiana. We talk a lot of Southern Indiana sports, a lot of basketball at this time of year. And, Chad, that's where I'll start with you today. A lot of holiday stuff going on. We're going to talk some about the Hall of Fame Classic and Warren Central and Chase Jackson Davis and Center Grove in a moment. But it's hard not to get excited as we head to the new year. With January 1 coming up later tonight, the start of tomorrow, hard to not get excited about New Albany, Jeffersonville, great rivalry, Friday night, William S. Johnson Arena, great players, great coaches, a great environment, a great tradition that is known all over the state of Indiana and beyond, and that game week is here.
Matt, you hit the nail on the head. When you mention the game, it sends a shiver up my spine. Goosebumps on my arm. And the reason it does that is because I'm taking it in from a fan's perspective. And when you've been involved with it, whether you're a former player, a longtime fan, a parent, this is a big game for you. Now, as your team goes, it's just another game. You've got to convince your kids that this is part of the process. This is the next game for us to try to get better. Because if you don't, it is so easy to get caught up in the hype of the New Albany-Jeffersonville game. And you think about it, all the games you've been involved with it, the games I've been involved with it, there's highs and there's lows. Who wins that game is who stays level-headed throughout. And, you know, it's not a hatred game. You know, it's not the old-school games where people throw rocks at your bus or anything. These guys grow up together. They played Little League Baseball together. They played Little League Basketball together. Their buddies on Instagram or whatever else. They know each other well. So it's not a hatred rivalry. But it's a pride rivalry, which is good for Southern Indiana and good for high school sports because that's what it's about. You're representing your school, and you're going to go out there and play on the biggest stage, a sellout crowd of 5,000 people. How many high school kids can say that they are involved in something, or how many people in general, that the gym sold out 5,000? You know, New Albany for the last 3 years can say that every game. But that's spoiled because not a lot of teams can say that nowadays.
No question. Chad Gilbert, my guest, we're talking New Albany, Jeffersonville. And when you look, Chad, at this year's specific matchup, and there's a lot more preview of this game to come after the new year. We'll talk with both head coaches on Friday. We'll be talking a lot about the history of this game on this program throughout the week. But when you look at this year's specific matchup, without digging too deep in it, it's an interesting one. Both teams coming off of losses. Both teams have had some big wins. Both teams have some key players, but still have things to figure out and maybe have been seeing different guys step up over the last couple games. And I think you can make that case for both teams in a lot of ways. Lots of interesting things to get the discussions going in both of these basketball-crazed communities this week when you think ahead to this year's matchup between the Devils and the Dogs.
Oh, without a doubt. Both teams are tested. You know, they play great teams. They play great schedules going in. So they know where they're at. It's not like teams are trying to find themselves because, you know, New Albany has played in the Noblesville tournament, played Lawrence Central, who may be, Matt, you don't want to take Lawrence Central run 40 in a row. You don't want to take anything away from them. Maybe the team that has the best chance to knock off Lawrence Central is Lawrence Central. And to go against those guys, you're prepared. You look at Jeffersonville's schedule. They're prepared. The one thing you don't want to do, now I talked about this not being a big game from a coach's standpoint. It is. You're judged on this. If you don't think Jim Shannon knows that I beat him three times and he didn't beat me any, you're crazy, because I wouldn't know it. And Jim Shannon knows that. It's that type of competitiveness amongst each other that makes you – you got to take a step back and realize, no, this isn't a game that you bring in old-time players and talk about the rivalry and everything else. The kids know about that. You bring those old-time players and you talk about pride when you're struggling a little bit. You're not going to struggle in this game. Both teams are going to play their A game. They're going to have their best effort out there. And it's something that you want to build upon, because you can guarantee at the end the sectional will go through Jeffersonville or New Albany. And for those, if you can get out there and put too much stock in this game, you don't want to do that. You want to get out there. You don't want to show all your cards. When I talked about Jim Shannon, when we played each other, we just said, look, here's the deal. We're going to see all your games. I'm going to see all you're going to see all mine. Let's just trade tapes. So we had every New Albany game. They had every Jeffersonville game. And you just went out there and you put your kids in the best position to be successful. That being said, though, Matt, if you don't think Jeffersonville doesn't remember that stinging that the Bulldogs put on him last year at the doghouse, you're mistaken on that one. You know, you can go in Jeffersonville's gym, and that score is going to be on the scoreboard, because you know they're embarrassed from that loss last year. And there will be something dig down deep where pride will be tested in the game.
Chad Gilbert talking New Albany, Jeffersonville. Big game coming up. Plenty of discussion this week for those of you that are into this kind of thing. We'll be talking a lot about the series and have both coaches on and do some other special things in advance of one of the great rivalries that our state has to offer from a high school basketball perspective. Quickly, along the same lines, I want to hit some of the holiday stuff. You touched on New Albany at Noblesville. Not the greatest of 2 days for New Albany. Some tough 4A competition. I went over Crown Point, but losses to Lawrence Central, who is really good, and to Columbus North, which was a little surprising later in the day as well. Jeffersonville lost to Crispus Attucks, a good team that came down to Jeff last week. A lot of points, up and down game for the Devils, and that loss, very close game. They lost by 3 points. And then on a statewide level, you had the Hall of Fame Classic. The Jeff girls participated in that. They came up winless in a two-game deal. And on the boys' side, Warren Central, my goodness, they continue to win close games. Center Grove, Trace Jackson Davis, IU signee, going against Warren Central, who's still not lost. They were undefeated all last season, went on to win the state championship, came back late in a lot of games, and they're continuing down that same path so far, at least here at the holiday break right now, with I don't want to call it a come from behind, but a last second great finish to win the Hall of Fame Classic over Center Grove.
Well, those Christmas tournaments, Matt, will do nothing but help, because what that does is if you advance to the regional, you had a game in the day. In the regional, you got to win a day game and a night game. You play these Christmas tournaments, you get to play a day game and a night game. So that helps down the road. Like we talked about Lawrence Central earlier, they may have the best chance to knock off Warren Central. Warren Central is very, very athletic. And I'll tell you what else they are. They're very, very well coached. Chris Byers does a magnificent job coaching Warren Central. You know, and Chris is way back coach. You know, he was coaching the Bloomington South girls when I was in high school. And that's how, you know, how much that Chris has been involved in the game of basketball throughout the state. And he's done a fantastic job at Warren Central. But, you know, you talked about Center Grove. My gosh, that kid can play. If you watch that championship game in the first quarter, I mean, he put on a show. But then you think about the Valpo game, the kid that's going to Purdue for Valpo, he put on a show against Warren Central. There are many, many magnificent players throughout the state, many, many talented teams. And for Friday night, we'll in Sunday night have an opportunity to showcase our talent. So if any fans out there that hasn't been to that game, just as a fan, you will leave with goosebumps on your arm and a shiver in your spine, because you're getting to see what it's all about. And but throughout the state, it's Indiana. You know, there's lots of great basketball teams, and this is one of the best rivalries, one of the best opportunities for kids to flourish on the biggest stage.
Chad, let's close with this. IU restarts Big Ten Conference play for the rest of the way January 3rd. Romeo averaging 17 and a half, somewhere around there, through 13 games. But more importantly, his full stat line, so very consistent. And it's hard to remember sometime when you watch him play and when you look at what he's done so far through the first half of the season, I should say through the first 13 games of the season for Indiana. It's hard to remember at times that he's still just a freshman in college. I don't think any of us, you, me, Jim Shannon, others that have followed him very closely, probably most of New Albany and Southern Indiana, to be factual with this, I don't think many people are surprised that he is in a position to really do some great things in his year at Indiana and to be an NBA draft pick. He continues to be on draft boards at a very high level.
Well, you're at the Big Ten, you're playing against men. And Romeo's proven he's a man. The one thing, you know, that you talked about not being surprised, we're not surprised at all. And the one thing that the fans need to realize is don't be surprised when Romeo's gone at the end of this year, because enjoy every game. He's on a high level for the boards, and the way it's set up, you got to get that second contract. And Romeo has put himself in a position through all his hard work, all his dedication, to be in that spot. That being said, he's going out there to try to do his best to win every game for the Indiana Hoosiers. So enjoy Romeo while you've got him, because he's a once-in-a-lifetime player. There are going to be other great players than IU, but Romeo does just such a magnificent job of being unselfish with the ball, defending, playing hard, and it's going to be a great run for him in this Big Ten stretch.
Chad, as always, thanks for the chat. Enjoy New Year's Eve with the family. We'll talk with you next week, but I'll, of course, see you later this week at the big one Friday night.
Absolutely, Matt. Happy New Year. Enjoy everything, and thanks for everything you do for Southern Indiana sports.
Thank you very much. Chad Gilbert with us Mondays. We talk Southern Indiana sports and a lot of basketball this time of year. That's going to wrap it up for this New Year's Eve edition of the Hoosier Report. We're off tomorrow for New Year's Day, and then we're back the rest of the week and for the foreseeable future as we get through this holiday period. Hope you have a very, very safe New Year. That's very important, a very, very safe New Year. Tonight, obviously, stay off the roads and don't make sure you're not drinking and driving and all the things that you get reminded of so often, but can be a dangerous evening. Be very careful and also enjoy the new year as well. Hard to believe we're wrapping up 2018, headed into 2019 tomorrow, and I'll be back with you on Wednesday at 11 o'clock here on the program. Don't forget, you can podcast any of our episodes at soundcloud.com/Hoosier Report. Again, soundcloud.com/Hoosier Report, and you can find us on Apple Podcast. Just type in the Hoosier Report, hit search, and you'll find us there. Have a great New Year's Eve, a safe New Year's Eve. Be back with you Wednesday here on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.